Our next guest has appeared on TV series such as Smallville, Saving Grace, and Cold Case, and on the first five seasons of The Shield, playing Detective Curtis Lemansky. He can currently be seen on the original series Sons of Anarchy, which airs Tuesdays on FX, and which you really ought to be watching. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Mr. Kenny Johnson. Hello, sir. How are you today?
Good, man. I'm doing great. How are you, Rick?
I am fantastic. Right here alongside Don Taylor, who is my co-host, and who, I have to say, did a little giddy dance when I told her that we were going to be having this interview, because she actually just finished, I believe, last night, watching The Shield, and so she saw your character from the very beginning all the way through to the end of season five, and then the ramifications beyond. So she was very excited.
I was. He told me I couldn't keep just going "Lem" over and over again, because that made me seem kind of pathetic, and it might embarrass me in front of you.
No, that's all right.
I have to ask, your character in Sons of Anarchy got a real brief introduction in season two. I think it was the episode where they were sort of fortifying the clubhouse, and now reappears at the top of season three. Without giving too much away, because the series is just getting underway, what can you tell us about him as a character?
He was an ex-Marine. He is sergeant at arms up in the Tacoma SOA, and he had a past with TIG, and they used to be really close. They used to run together when they were back up there and learn the club together back up there. So that's kind of their history, and something happened that kind of separated them, and basically my character kind of wants out into a vision of what he wanted to be a part of, which is kind of a smaller family, which is more like the Charming SOA. And that, and with TIG, that maybe he can mend whatever differences they had in the past. So he comes down there. They kind of ask him to come down there because they need some muscle, but then when he wants to get in, obviously that's a big issue for TIG. And so a lot of this season is going to be he and I going at each other.
Well, and TIG is sort of he's a little bit of a chaos factor in terms of characters, too, because you never quite get the sense from moment to moment whether he's about to do something really generous and noble or whether he's about to, like, take out a guy's eye with an ice cream scoop or something.
Bite his nose off, yeah. genitals off, who knows.
presuming that you haven't actually, like, been a gang member at any point in your life, how do you prepare to play somebody like that?
Oh, well, no, I was in a gang when I was younger, so I kind of relate. No, I'm kidding. It's so funny because I did so much research on The Shield with, on gangs and the 18th Streeters and the Lost Mags and everything. And I spent a lot of time, talking to gangbangers and ex-gangbangers. And then I've watched a million specials on gangs, and people in prison that were in gangs. And there's something about it for them that is very family oriented, and it makes them feel like they have a home. And a lot of people that are like misfits or whatever, they go to a place where they feel they can relate and they have family, and it doesn't have to be their blood family, but people that are like brothers to them. And the Marines do it where they watch each other's backs, the cops do it. And, in the same respect, I think gang members do it or motorcycle gangs, I've spent a bit of time with a guy who's a Hell's Angel, and he treats me like we're best friends and we're brothers. And he consistently does that. And I never really understand why, because I know him, but I don't know him. But at the same time, it's like that's the kind of brotherhood that they have, And so, they kind of look at it more like, you're my brother than like a gang, So I kind of just kind of, try to parallel the same feelings.
I read in an interview that when you first started on Sons of Anarchy, basically your first few days, first couple of episodes, really, you just sort of stood around in the background and were just kind of there and weren't quite sure what it was your character was going to be doing in the future, but also that you like to do a lot of research for characters, and you spend a lot of time doing your own backstory. So how do you prepare for a character when you yourself don't actually know where the showrunners are going to be taking him?
I just make it up. and whether it matches, it doesn't match. You always think that, as long as there's something going on, like a movie in my mind about my whole past and where I am and what relation everyone is here to me, it fills my life. And until I have no more information from the writers, I kind of just go with that. And sometimes it might not be spot on for what the writers are thinking, but it makes it more interesting because it doesn't always have to match exactly, the situation.
That actually dovetails with something I wanted to ask, which is, I won't spoil anything, but it's become clear that Sons of Anarchy is one of those shows where no one is really safe. When you're on a show like that, how much advance warning does someone have that their character is going to get killed off?
I don't know.
As someone who has had that experience yourself.
I mean, is that...
Yeah. Thanks for reminding me, man. If they repeat that real quick, I'm going to be pretty pissed off. But,
well, I'm not trying to imply that I know anything you don't know. I'm just... I always wonder if that's a thing where you're just kind of sitting around the, you know, craft services, and then a guy comes by and goes, "Hey, man, have you seen page 49? I don't know. You fall into a blender, you know, or whatever."
Yeah, I mean, I can say that I think it's different for every show, and it all depends on maybe the situation with, I don't know. I mean, again, the Shield, I knew like about 4 months in advance or something like that, but I think on this show, from my understanding, is it could happen really quick. that's my understanding, what I've kind of like watched, so I you're right. Everyone's walking around like, I don't know if I'll be back. You know, who knows?
Yeah. I have to tell you, maybe this will not surprise you. The number of guys I know, the number of men who took Lem's death on the Shield really, really hard was just, it was really amazing. Did you get that reaction from people as well? That they were really stunned by it?
Yeah. And it really, one of the first people that gets me emotional thinking about it, but Michael Chiklis' dad is he's a hardcore Bostonian, and that guy doesn't usually cry, and he's a tough, tough, tough guy. And he called Michael up when he saw that episode, and he just was like going, "Why?" Like, he was so upset. He's like, "Why him? Why can't he? Why? What the F is wrong with those writers?" He goes, "Oh, my God." And he was so devastated that Michael got emotional, started crying, because he says, "I've never seen my dad react like that." And then I talked to somebody else who was one of the hosts from Chicago. And I had gotten probably 20 calls from radio stations that next morning, and I just didn't return any calls for like a day. And then when I talked to them, the guy said, "I was so shocked that I turned off all the lights in my house and I stood there in the dark." And he goes, "I felt like it was weird." I mean, the way it affected different people, you know, it affected me, you know, because you never know how people follow your character and how it's going to affect them. But I know that was Sean's intention, that he was hoping that killing the conscience of these guys would affect people. And I guess it did that, you know.
Speaking of people following your character, if I'm correct, and I might have this wrong, but it's my understanding that Saving Grace was canceled, and Saving Grace was terrific. Saving Grace was canceled not because of ratings. TNT actually wanted to renew it, but because Fox thought it was too expensive. And I was wondering, how does that feel for you as an actor to know you actually have the numbers? You have people watching you, but, you know, it's a business decision.
I've seen it happen before, as well as, you know, other friends of mine. I was on a show in 2000 that did really well in the ratings, and they had a new president come in and took off all the new shows that the prior people had put on the air, and they were doing really good in the ratings. But, you know, sometimes they like to just start, you know, all new stuff. So, I've experienced it to that degree. And then this one, you know, basically... you know, that's what Fox said, but I know they were going to pick it up and go year to year. And I think, or somebody wanted to go year to year and somebody wanted to do a 2-year pickup. So basically they kind of argued about you know, one said, I just want to go year to year. The other one says, I want to do 2 years because we want to guarantee syndication, because it was at the fourth and fifth season, which would have been, they would have been guaranteed syndication, which they would have made a lot of their money back. And I think they just got nervous. And when the other one wouldn't do it, they just, they kind of basically for about a month and a half, they butted heads and then canceled it.
That must be really frustrating for you, though, you know, at being on the artistic end, just waiting for your fate to be decided by the suits.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's the nature of the business. And you know, you, unfortunately, you can't get emotionally invested in that part of it because there's absolutely nothing you can do. And if you just walk away angry or upset, you know what I mean? It just I don't know. It just is a waste of your energy. You just have to see, like, that's just another decision that maybe you don't agree with, and it's too bad. But at that point, you know, there's absolutely nothing you can do, you know. And so, you know, I tried to just, you know, Holly and I talked about it, and we're just like, oh, well, you know, I mean, that was it. I mean, we put a lot into it, and that was a very emotionally, you know, challenging show. And it goes both ways. It's too bad, but at the same time, we're lucky that we went that far and got to do what we did and say what we said, you know.
We're talking to Mr. Kenny Johnson. You can see him on Sons of Anarchy, which airs on FX. When you're working on shows like these, Sons of Anarchy really is just quite an exceptional program. Does it make it hard to work on other projects in the sense that it's a good problem to have, I suppose, but do you find yourself comparing everything else you audition for, everything else you read for, to, you know, this great work that you're doing on Sons of Anarchy or the work you've done on The Shield?
Well, you know, for me, like, The Shield was great writing. I mean, awesome characters and incredible writing, and after I left The Shield, I probably took, you know, there were like 35 projects people wanted me to come in for, and I think I only would come in for three of them, just because the writing to me, if it wasn't going to be as good or equal or as good, I just didn't want to, you know, you can't really do that for yourself or your career, I feel. So I kind of held out for something that I felt was worthy, you know, for as an actor. And so, you know, I thought the pilot of Seven Grace was really great, which I wouldn't do that. But when I left that and I got a call from Kurt and from John Landgraf, saying that they might, you know, use me over on Sons of Anarchy, I got excited because Kurt was one of the Shield writers, and I know he's a great writer, and I'd seen the first season of Sons of Anarchy, and I loved it. I loved the writing. I loved what the whole concept was, and I totally dug the relationship. So I was lucky enough to go, you know, kind of right into Kurt's show. You know, and again, the writing's great. His writing is so, so good. And it's kind of familiar to me because it feels a bit, you know, not like The Shield, but there's a familiar, you know, it's familiar. And it's great. It's real. It's very real to me. And, you know, so I love it because of that fact.
You also got to do one episode of Lie to Me, because Sean Ryan is the showrunner over at Lie to Me.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have overlapping work days with some of your other colleagues? Because you played, I'm assuming a few days work. You played a small role as a gay photographer. Did you have overlapping days with some of your, and how did that come together? How awesome was that?
That was cool and funny, yeah. Yeah, I didn't look at the part when I told them that I would do it because they said it was a big Shield reunion. So I thought, well, anything for Sean, of course. And I was nervous. It actually came out. It worked, but I was nervous doing it because I thought, well, okay, am I going to be believable? You know, are people going to buy this? But it worked. It was cool. It was good. Now, I mean, when I got the script, I read all the other characters, and I'm like, oh man, he probably wants me for that guy. I'm like, no, it's probably that guy. Look at that. This is a great role. And I called halfway through it. I'm like, which role am I? Am I this guy or that guy? They go, no, you're this guy called so-and-so. And I'm like, oh, I haven't got there yet, you know? So I turn like two pages, and there's that scene, and I'm like, is this a joke? I go, you know. But I did it, and it was fun, and I had the time, so it was cool.
We're talking with Kenny Johnson. I'm always curious to know anyone who works in a creative field, whether they're a writer, an actor, musician, if there was something in particular, a moment for you where you sort of realized, like, this is what I want to do with my life. This is what I want to pursue. Whether it was somebody you saw acting on stage or a film or a television program you saw, and you said, that's what I want to do. That's the job for me.
You know, I mean, when I was in college, I definitely, you know, played around with the idea, but I was, you know, I was fairly introverted, and I didn't think I could ever put myself out there like that. You know, but I used to watch old James Dean, Montgomery Clift movies, you know, Marlon Brando, and I totally loved the old movies. And, I think the time that it actually happened for me was a friend of mine who used to be Stallone's friend, wrote a movie. And it was like a student film when he was in college. So I was like a few years older than him. It was when I first moved out here, and he just wrote this film and wrote me as his best friend in the film, and kind of brought it to me and said, "Look, I wrote this film. I'm going to put in the festival. I want you to play this part together, lead guy." And so that's kind of like, I didn't want to do it at the beginning because I said I don't know anything about this, but he talked me into it, and that was my first experience actually doing anything on film, and I kind of fell in love with it at that moment. I just had this like, I don't know, this enlightened moment that just kind of shot through me, and I didn't know what it was, but it kind of let me know that this was where I was supposed to go. So,
in addition to this season of Sons of Anarchy, what's on the horizon for you? What else can we expect from you in the immediate future?
I just finished a film called Few Options with this guy George Pappy Jr. wrote and directed it. It was his first feature, and Michael Sheen is in it, and Rainn Wilson, Brad Dourif, David Marciano from The Shield, Laura San Giacomo, and Dayton Cowley, actually, who's also on Sons of Anarchy. And it's an interesting story about a guy. I play a guy who's been in prison 23 years, and it's basically the first 8 days that happens when he first gets out of prison. A bunch of crazy stuff happens, but that's kind of what the film's based on.
Sons of Anarchy airs Tuesdays on FX, and you can find out more about it at fxnetworks.com. Mr. Kenny Johnson, thank you for spending some time with us and for doing such great work, one project after another, and it sounds like there are more great things on the horizon. So best of continued success in life, art, and all things, my friend.
Thank you very much, man. It's a pleasure being on, and I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.